Well, we're now less than a month away from primary day. 11 candidates are vying for gubernatorial nominations, 4 more for the Democratic nomination in the 2nd Congressional District. But those numbers have yet to lead to saturation broadcast advertising. Here to talk about that and other political advertising issues are Brenda Guerin and Sam Surprise. Sam runs Surprise Advertising. Brenda is founder of Guerin Mollenkamp and a Maine Public Board member. And welcome to both of you.
Hello, Erwin.
Hi, Erwin.
We have seen a little bit of television advertising. I've also seen longer form pitches posted online. Now, I find that stuff because I go looking for it. I'm just wondering, as a matter of campaigns, how are people seeing this stuff?
As we look at the way campaigns unfold now, it's a lot about brand building and a lot about connecting with those individuals that we know will form the base of primary voters. And because of that, they're going to spend the time.
Yeah, I think this is a never before has the online become critical to what's going on, as it is with the primary. You're talking to the party faithful. Now you're trying to convince your party that you're the person for that next step. And that's where everybody's going to go to get the information right now. They're going to go in. They're going to read. They're going to pay attention to the facts. They're going to say, how are they different from person B and C and D who's running in that particular primary?
And it may not even be a seek and find environment, because in the social media environment, everything's connected to everything else. And so if you're on Facebook and you're paying attention to politics, chances are you're going to get served something that's of interest to you.
Okay, so let's take a look then at the look that people are creating online.
I found some really interesting things as I looked at all of the logos that have been brought forward by the candidates in the primaries, and I noticed a couple of interesting things. First off, I noticed that there was absolutely no colorway preference whether a person was a Democrat, an independent, or a Republican. I noticed that the only really red candidate, notwithstanding, Mary Mayhew, her look is Susan Collins' color, and she certainly is coming forward with that very patriotic state of Maine kind of look. Interestingly, Betsy Sweet, maybe one of the more liberal Democrats, on the other hand, is red, white, and blue, and is using an exclamation point that reminds me of the early days of Olympia Snow.
And for those under the age of 35, Olympia, of course, was a Republican.
Correct. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Erwin. Then it's interesting to look at those candidates that are coming out of military backgrounds or police service, fire service. They almost always use stars as their iconography. But then the other thing I noticed that I thought was fascinating are the look-alike logos. Now, to my eye, looking at Terry Hayes, who's running as an independent, her logo is, quite frankly, a dead giveaway and a dead look-alike for Angus King's logo in his independent run for governor and later for Senate. And then the one that really interested me is Janet Mills' logo, to me, when I give it the squint test, has a real look of the Elliott Cutler logo. Garrett Mason's logo, which has a mountain and an O that was strangely evocative of Obama's logo and also in blue. And one wonders if it's accidental or on purpose. Hard to say.
Did any of them have taglines?
Yes, my favorite tagline is Diane Russell, who is running as the Orange is the New Black candidate. And her tagline is Fight Like a Girl. And I don't know whether that thrills me or scares me to death, but it was certainly memorable.
Ranked choice voting is going to be in these multi-candidate races. Should the candidates be addressing that in any of these online presentations or ads?
It's a double-edged sword, that's for sure. I mean, I know the Republicans are positioning themselves that it's horrible and it's not going to be the way to go, but it's a double-edged sword and it could work against Democrats just as easily. I would keep my mouth shut for one thing and just watch and see.
Well, you know, if I were running a campaign, I would say that the most important thing a person can do to take advantage of ranked choice voting is to do well in the race and to not spend valuable time where you really ought to be differentiating yourself.
Right.
Not spending too much time talking about the ins and outs of ranked choice voting strategy, which is, as far as I can tell, imperceptible.
So what are the strategic choices people need to be making right now?
I think that you got to put all your effort into the digital right now, and you need to target the party faithful, and you need to pick your top two, I wouldn't even say three, your top two things that you're going to do and make sure they're different than everybody else's.
Sam, Brenda, thank you both very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Erwin.
Your pleasure.